Blog Talk Radio.
There's some dangerous large carnivore out there.
Yeah, I saw that bird pick a young deer off the road from a far away.
And it was just about getting dark, and we started panicking, running down the bridge, not really having any clue what was throwing rocks in our vicinity, good-sized rocks. And I stopped long enough to get a 357 out of my backpack and went back, and that's when I saw one.
For a week, the town of Defiance was being harassed by a werewolf. And it's actually attacked two railroad workers, killed livestock. You know, just a lot of weird stuff that was going on.
Welcome to Monster X Radio, where X marks the spot for everything cryptid. It's Thursday, August 21st, 2014. I'm your host, Johnny Bigfoot, and with me tonight is my guest co-host, Mark Marcel. How you
hey,
doing
Johnny.
Tonight, Mark?
Oh, great. Dang, I'm on the radio hanging out with Johnny Bigfoot. This is great.
Nice. Well, we're going to talk a little Bigfoot news. And then we'll welcome our guest tonight. Why don't we start off and have you tell us, Mark, a little bit about what you got going on with the Ape Canyon project and all.
Geez, thanks. This is the Stacy Brown show, and I'm a little shy about talking about Ape Canyon because I could do it for a while. But, yeah, friends and I run a Dark Waters Paranormal Group out here in Southwest Washington. And about our main project, which has kind of taken over our lives, has been the Ape Canyon Research Project. And we started on this about 4 or 5 years ago, re-researching the story in all of its details, going through the document evidence. And there are some courthouse records on the mine and whatnot. And after a little while, we started to realize that the cabin and mine could have very well survived the eruptions, and evidence may be still there. So about 2 or 3 years ago into the project, we started the field work and started looking and looking and looking and looking. And after a couple of years, last July, we did a camp out up there for about 3 days, and after a lot of hard looking, we started finding evidence in the ground. And barring any other evidence, we're pretty much 99.5% sure that we were able to rediscover the cabin, which we did. We found evidence in the ground of nails and spoons. This year we returned, found an old broken buck saw that the miners had broken while chopping down trees to build the cabin. And so the work is ongoing. We have interviews lined up with some of the miners' family members, direct descendants of them. And we're returning up there in October to continue the work to see if we can track down the mine entrance. So that's what's going on with me and the whole Ape Canyon project. It's a lot of fun up there.
Oh, wow, that is cool. It's just such a rich story and part of Bigfoot history.
No, it's a milestone. It's one of the first times in our Anglo-American history that white folks had to deal pretty much in your face with the whole Sasquatch phenomenon. You know, beforehand it was all local lore, you know, thrown into the bucket of a native legend, quote-unquote legend. And with the Osterman kidnapping and the Ape Canyon incident, it was the first time where it hit the headlines and white folks were introduced to this big hairy man that lived up in the mountains. So when I got started on it, it was kind of right on the threshold of, again, being thrown into the bucket of legend. And did the Ape Canyon incident even really happen? Well, yeah, it really did happen. And the more I got into it, it's an incredibly rich, very detailed story with a couple of good punchlines at the end, actually. So, yeah, it's fun to see this story being brought back with the rediscovery of the cabin. So, yeah, it's a good project.
Nice. And what year did this happen?
It happened on July the 10th of 1924. The miners had been working this mine for about 2 years, and at the end of 1923, they had been tent camping while working the mine, and they decided to build the cabin in the spring of 24, which they did. And right in the vicinity of 6 weeks after working the mine, and then at the end of the day, building a pretty formidable log cabin up there, they split. They came off the mountain and never went back, and gave up their claim to their gold mine, and said they're never going back. After working a gold mine that apparently had good assays, building this cabin, you know, dedicating years of their lives to getting gold out, that was it. Forget it. We're done. We're never going back there. I don't know what happened up there. I don't know what that thing is, but I know that I don't have anything ever to do with it. And they never did. They never did go back.
Wow. That's a neat thing to be a part of.
Yeah, it's a good project.
Okay, well, let's see. What else has happened in Bigfoot news? It's been kind of a short week for us here since it's only Thursday. But one thing that happened is the infamous leader of Team Taser, now called Zen Yeti, one Michael Merchant, is back. After a four-month hiatus, he has returned to the Bigfoot world. And Michael was the runner-up to our guest tonight on the Bigfoot Bounty Show. And I'm not sure what he's been up to on his break, but he just started interacting on Facebook and posting all these survival videos on YouTube. And so he's back in action.
Be good to see if you can get him on the show.
Yeah, definitely. That guy is a whiz in the woods. His videos are just so entertaining.
Fantastic. Good.
And then after our show tonight, the Minnesota Bigfoot Research Team is having their fifth anniversary show. And Abe's always puts on a good show. He's had a little bit of a break himself, but he's back as well. Everyone's got to take their breaks, right?
Yeah, right on. Yeah, it's what keeps it going, for sure. Sometimes you need to step back and take a breather.
Yeah, okay, well, I'll introduce the guest, and then we will get him on the line. Our guest tonight hails from the Sunshine State of Florida. He's a well-known avid Bigfoot researcher. He's been traveling all over the country lately, researching and speaking. He was the winner of the Spike TV show Bigfoot Bounty. He's been a past guest on Monster X before. I've been on a couple podcasts with him as well. Let's give him a call. Oh, Blog Talk's not being nice right now, so what we'll do,
technology.
We'll have him call us, or here we go. Thank you.
Hello.
Hey, Stacy Brown. Welcome back to Monster X Radio.
What's up, brother?
Hey. Good to hear you.
Yeah, man. How are y'all?
Good. Good, good. Gunner's got the night off, and we got Mark Marcel with me tonight.
Okay.
Hi, Stacy. How are you doing?
All right, brother.
Okay,
sitting here doing some figuring, trying to see if I'm about to buy a new business or absorb another business. Yeah.
Nice.
Hopefully a profitable one.
Oh, yeah. That's all I mess with. I'm trying to mess with them businesses that don't make no money.
Okay. I hear that.
Not a Bigfoot business, is it?
No, but the Bigfoot business is booming, at least for me. So.
Yeah, you've been flying all over the country, man. You just got back from Hopscotch in Oregon, huh?
Yeah, sure did. And that was sold out.
Oh, good for you. That's good.
Yeah, it was cool. I think Gunner was there. I didn't get to talk to him. There were so many people, you know. Somebody came up and shook my hand on his way out the door, I think, if I remember correctly. I know it was such a weird time. So it was fun, though.
Nice. So you presented and talked about your thermal footage then?
Yeah, I did that. And then I, you know, talked about, I just answered some questions. I showed the unseen footage from the thermal video. While my dad was filming the Sasquatch, I was filming him.
Oh, wow.
And we just never put it out, you know. It was never really a big deal. It didn't lend any credibility to it, you know what I mean? Like numbers or anything like that. You just pretty much see us walk through the woods 20 minutes or so, and then my dad sees this thing and flips out, breaks out into a sweat, and he's running. Out of breath, you know, he had cancer, I think, at the time, or either just got over surgery, so he was really out of shape. And you can see the pain on his face as he's trying to get back and trying to explain and breathing through his mouth and stuff like that. So it's coming out in the documentary, which I had done earlier this year, but it got deleted after my ex-wife deleted it as she kicked me out of the house. So,
oh, no.
One of those things, brother, you know, it ain't easy, son.
But it sure is fun, right?
It damn sure is, brother. I wouldn't change it for nothing.
Okay.
Yeah. See, last Sunday we had Robert Robinson on, and he said he went out with you to the spot where you filmed the thermal.
Yeah, sure did. He's
cool.
Pretty good dude, man. You know, him and his wife Tracy, I think, came out, and we gave a public expedition. There was more or less probably about 12 kids there, you know, and we like to do that every now and then, you know, just take local kids out that are interested in Bigfoot, and, you know, they love that stuff. So I just can't believe
Nice.
Their parents let them go out with a guy like me. We got to figure. It's like, hey, we're dropping you off. You look like you live under an overpass, but hey, we'll be back Sunday to pick them up. I'm like, yeah, all right. So.
Well,
nice.
You're a movie star now. What can possibly go wrong by dropping off my kids with you?
Yeah, really. They obviously just knew I was on TV. They didn't watch it. Had they watched it and heard me say that I was going to bang a Sasquatch, there was no way in hell anybody would let their kids go off with me. But
is this
North
in
Florida.
North Florida?
Yeah. People are a different breed up here, brother. They're like a inner breed, you know what I mean?
Nice. Yeah, that's a... People have been talking lately about your DNA dart gun, your showstopper.
That's what I call it.
No.
'Cause that's what it's going to do. The second I dart this thing, it's done. All this going out and Bigfooting, done with. It's kind of a I guess catch 22. Yeah, it'd be proven, but once they're proven to exist, they're not going to let you go out and mess with them. They're not going to let you go out. It's going to be like manatees, anything like that, like over the river up here. It's they call it molesting. No molesting manatees, which is not sexual.
Yeah,
that's what they call it, messing with them.
Vegetation up here.
Yeah, you know, and it
doesn't look good on your record.
No, it sure don't. Molesting manatees. I mean, you try to do that with a job, some guy's gonna look at you and then get the hell out of here right now. You know, but that all be done. All this BFRO doing the expeditions, everybody's expeditions they do, it all be over with, and it'll be pretty much. You'll have scientists. They'll then send their experts or smart people into the woods, you know, hopefully with a couple, they'll pick a couple people out of the Bigfoot world they deem credible to guide them along to find these creatures so they can study them. But it'll all be done, you know. You may be able to go camping, but they catch you looking for the Bigfoots and messing with the Bigfoots, you know. You'll face fines, I'm sure, and all that. So that's why I call it a showstopper, because it's going to put an end to it. You know? It's going to put an end to what we all enjoy.
It's just a... It's a mean-looking machine, too. What kind of range does this thing have? Yeah.
You know, it says 300 yards. I haven't shot at 300 yards. Now, you have to take... If you're shooting trank, you're probably not going to get that far because you're shooting a heavier dart. But the DNA dart is a very light dart. Will shoot 300 yards, so they say.
Wow.
I have shot at 150 yards, and you know those little hand warmers.
Mm-hmm.
They come in little packs. They're square. You know, go in your pocket. I can hit them at 150 yards.
Man.
No problem.
That's impressive.
I'm a pretty good shot though. But no problem. But you know, I'm wanting 50 yards or less, because see, not only do I have to, Dr. Distel wants me not only to have the dart, he also wants me to have the footage of me darting it. It's very important that I can clearly see this is what I'm shooting, you know, and we can tell. So, knock on wood, the next video that I put out will be of me darting the damn thing, and you will see its reaction to the dart. And then I'll just have to retrieve the dart and get it to Dr. Todd.
That was one of my questions, Stacy, about the DNR gun. The DNA gun. Excuse me. Could you explain for the listeners a little bit about the logistics about that? About the size of the dart and maybe the caliber of your gun and your plans for retrieval of the dart? Are you just hoping for it to fall out, or how does this work? I mean, this is an odd question. I don't know how this works.
The darts, they're what they call a 3cc dart, which is the size my dart gun will shoot, anywhere from 1cc to 7cc darts. It's just depending on the weight and size thing, whatever you're trying to do. You can microchip the things if you wanted to. That would be ideal, but I'm wanting the DNA. And so there's like a inch-long needle on the front. It's got like four vicious barbs on it, right? And it's got a little metal shield over it. Once the dart goes into the animal, it then falls right out.
Okay.
So it's going to be in the vicinity of where you shot it. You know, would not be hard to find. Now, the dart gun itself is a modified Marlin 22.
Okay.
And unlike your CO2 dart guns, it's more, what's the word I'm looking for, I guess, wow, I get stumbled over words at times. More consistent, you know, because sometimes with the air, depending on the temperature and all that things, you know, you can have. Now there will be some variances with the shells, but it's not as big as with the CO2 that you're shooting. It does shoot 22 blanks to propel the dart.
So it sounds
like 22 when it goes off. You know, it's not quiet. It's not really loud like my 300 or anything like that, but, you know, it's quiet enough, I guess. Quiet as it's going to get. And, you know, and it's traveling. There's no way you can move from this thing.
Sure.
Especially 50 yards. You know, at 50 yards, I'm shooting through a half-inch piece of plywood with that dart.
Really? Holy smokes.
Right through it.
Okay. Okay.
Is it heavy?
So it's traveling, you know. And when it sticks, it's going to hurt like hell. But the creature will survive. The last thing I really want to do is kill it. Because it just doesn't have to be done. I know a lot of people make the argument that, you know, we do need a body. And a body is worth a ton of money, no doubt. And I'm all about money, don't get me wrong. There's nothing more besides women that I like in this world than money, you know, because two things, women and money, and that's where it's at. But you would get the money from the body, but you may be killing one of the last 100 Sasquatch on the planet. And that's a very big dent. Just that one creature is a very big dent. Dr. Todd's lab has, if I'm correct, proven 4 species of new primates strictly off of hair and feces. Local reports from the villagers, these creatures, and then they're checking some nests, find some hair, and they run a test on it, something brand new. Able to sequence it, then they go in and they get the picture that they need, you know, so they can know what it looks like and classify the animal. It will happen. I do plan on being the one to do it. I'm spending too much time. It's going to happen. I wish I had more time than I do. I do have, but it's going to happen. One of these days, you know, it may be tomorrow. It may be 2 months from now, but I'm going to get close to them again. You know, it's more or less being right place, right time. All I need is that opening. I get that opening, it's done. Nobody will rebuke Dr. Todd's findings. It ain't going to be like Melba Ketchum. Apparently, she's still scamming people. You know, she's got some guys roped up right now. I was talking to today. Sitting there talking about Melba. I'm like, you seriously still trust Melba? I mean, come on. It's like we're believing Rick Dyer again. You know, it's just and they're like, well, you know, the scientist, she's not even qualified to do anything like this. She is a cat vet, a veterinarian. Why would you take the most important discovery of our lifetime, of, you know, of human evolution, to a veterinarian and not a geneticist? You know what I mean? Because she's a scam artist. It's because she just sits there and rips people off and takes money from them, people that don't know no better, and people that are just hoping, oh, well, Bigfoot, I hope Bigfoot's real. Bigfoot is real. What are you hoping for? You know, Bigfoot is real. You need to quit trusting shady people and get in with the right people. That's the best thing I got out of that Bigfoot bounty show. Dr. Todd don't believe in Bigfoot. He gives me these percentages when he talks. Very smart dude. Everything's percentages. Very low percentile of Bigfoot existing in his mind. However, he, just like me, he wants to be the one to prove it if it is out there. And so he backs me. And, you know, I told him, he's like, you can send me 5 samples, do them for free. I told him there ain't going to be but one sample I send to you. And when I send you that one sample, I'm not guessing, because I've got a ton of samples that I believe could be Bigfoot. I'm not wasting this man's time or his money, because these samples do cost money to run. And in his lab, I've been to his lab, shit ain't cheap, bro. You know? Yeah, and he's going to give me a sample for free, 5 samples for free. I'm only going to give him 1 sample, and that will be the one that I pull from the creature itself. I will know that I've darted a Bigfoot. I will be confident in what I've got. and then we can go from there. So, I may never get him that sample. I hope to God I do. You know, that's all about. I just want to be the man that proves it. I don't want to be Bigfooting for 25 years. I don't want to be on TV and saying I've searched for Bigfoot for 25 years. If you have searched for Bigfoot for 25 years, you are horrible at your job. Because let's say you're a detective and you've been on the cases for 25 years and haven't solved one, you would be fired way before that 25 years. So I'd be damned if I'm going to be on national television and tell people that I've researched Sasquatch, I've tracked Sasquatches for 25 years. You just admit you suck, bro. I mean, to me. You know, and I'm not going to be that guy. I really hope I get this done any time now, you know, because it's, like I said, I'm 30 years old now. I ain't going to be young forever. I really don't plan on doing this when I'm 40. I'm going to be sitting on a beach somewhere with some women and a drink and an umbrella in it. You know what I mean? And then I'm going to be waiting for my time to be done because I'll be done the baddest thing of all time. Yeah, y'all won the Super Bowl. Yeah, y'all did this. Y'all did that. Yeah, I proved Bigfoot was real, son. What you got now? You know what I mean? You know how many chicks you can pick up at the bar with that? Hey, what do you do for a living? Oh, I just like proved Bigfoot was real. I ain't really got to do nothing else the rest of my life. Never, oh, wow, yeah, you know. Going home with this dude.
Well, I think Stacy, with what you talked about, too, about the hair samples, because, of course, you know, I caught your video. I think it was published this May of the hair samples that you collected out on the break of the tree that was, like, 4 or 5 feet off the ground. I think it's wise to wait until, you know, you could actually collect them off of the creature itself to have those tested. Because by that point, if you're darting a creature and have a GoPro camera or a helper videotaping you doing it, collecting the hair samples and having them tested, that DNA test is just supplementary evidence. By that point, you actually have this all on video. And you actually have it collected instead of wasting someone's time, Dr. Todd's time, or anybody else's, sending in hair sample after hair sample. No, it's a porcupine. No, it's a marmot or whatever. You know, you could be doing that all your whole dang life, sending in hair samples. So it's smart.
Well, see, the dart gun, I've equipped it with a thermal scope, and it records video. It also has a...
Really?
Yeah. Good. So when I get it in my sights, it's done, dude. It will be recording video, and it's done. But it's a 640 by 480, pretty good resolution. Actually, great resolution. So at 50 yards, I'll be able to see its hairs. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It won't just be like my last thermal video, which isn't that great. Had I had the scope that I have now then, we would have seen detail. We would have seen muscle tone and things like that on the creature. But it's better that way, you know, sunk the money into it. And I got to have it because it's really important to me to get it and get that proof. Nobody's going to shoot it down, you know. We're going to shut them all up. They're going to eat their plate of crow. I'm going to feed it to them.
And you get people that say, oh, they're human, so these samples are just going to show up human. But it's like, no, I think this would be a different haplotype. This would be an unrecognized DNA sequence, even if it was human.
I don't really know what they are. I'm not smart enough to
speculate. You got the showstopper, and it's on film, yeah, then it's like, okay, it's human, but it's Bigfoot.
Yeah, it will come back different. You know, and it may even come back as something that they thought has died out years ago. You know, it may be something like that. I don't know what it is. It's not going to come back and tell us it's cloaking or anything of that nature. You know, it is going to come back that it's very, very much a thing here on this planet that is, I got special powers, you know, not walking through portals, and it may be close to a human. My belief is that it's not. They share so many, you know, for a while they thought chimpanzees were like some type of human when they first were, you know, discovered things like that. Like lowland gorillas, they thought they were some type of fucking human. But it's just, I mean, they're close. And, you know, I mean, because when you look at it, most primates are really close to us, but there's differences, and the differences will be there. You know, and that DNA sample is not only going to get hair, it's going to get blood and flesh. So, and the contamination factor, we try to run as contamination-free as we possibly can, but you're not in a sterile environment. You're in the woods. With Dr.
Sure.
Todd's lab, and the stuff he does, he will not clean the DNA, you know, because you degrade it and things like that. You just separate it. Separate everything you've got in there. So if I've touched it, we'll swab my mouth. David's breathed around it, and we'll swab David's mouth too. So that way we can separate, and okay, we got all these DNAs here. This is you. This is David. This is the raccoon crap that it fell in. And this is your Bigfoot. You know, so when I was up in New York visiting with him, you know, he was explaining everything. He's got some really cool methods of some things we could do. There's some new thing they're doing where they sample the soil. Like, if we were to believe Bigfoot was in my backyard, okay, we could take 10 different soil samples and filter the DNA out of those soil samples, and it would give us a map of everything that was in, coming through my area. It's a very low yield. I mean, like, what's your chance? It's like on the show when we were gathering mosquitoes hoping one of them bit a Bigfoot. Very low chance you can find it's a Bigfoot. But it will give you a map. You've got coons, possums, armadillos, Mexicans. Got all these things right here inside your inside your backyard. So everybody that's been visiting, you would know.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, very cool. He's just, to hear him talk and just go in his lab, I'm like, what, the dumbest person in the place? There's his students were around, they all showing me things. I was just like, yeah, wow. I just, you know, damn, bro. You know? And then we got to see all the primate skulls and all that, because we got a huge collection of stuff there, and it was really good, but more or less it was a learning experience on how I'm going to get this done, you know, and what I need to do. So, I just
cool.
can't wait to make that drive to New York, because I will not mail that dart. I will drive from Florida with it in my pocket all the way to New York City, right up to the doorstep, and be like, here, bro, get this done.
That's skunk ape DNA.
Yeah. So, I don't know where I'm going to dart the thing. I'm assuming I'm going to dart it at my research area. However, because also the buddy of mine, Jonathan Brown, over the weekend, he doesn't like to go other places because the needle in the haystack. Sometimes when you go to that needle in the haystack, they come to you. You know what I mean? Because nobody's been there doing that. And so it's like that. Because my first couple times at the research area I was at were awesome, and I've never had really better days than that.
In his area?
What's that?
Right, you're... At his area or your area?
At my area. The first couple times, they were just as curious of me as I was of them. Now it's more or less they know I'm there. They know my smell. And it's been over 200 nights out in the woods in the last couple years. They think they avoid me to some extent, you know. So, you know, when I was up at Hopscotch, I was talking with a guy named Tom Powell. I don't know if y'all heard of him.
Yeah.
They're real big into the cloaking, things like that, you know, which is whatever. It may cloak. It just makes literally no sense to me at all. What do you say? I don't need to go over there with no cameras or anything. Just open my mind and they will mind speaking.
They might as well live downtown if they can cloak.
Oh, yeah, but hell, they may. There may be one sitting beside me right now. You know,
well, maybe they do.
Yeah,
maybe they're in downtown Minneapolis, you know.
Sometimes I'm walking and my ankle gives out. Maybe they're tripping me. You know, maybe they push me down. I just don't realize it, you know. Like the wind blows your head off. Man, I've been the wind. Maybe a wiener slap from one of these Bigfoots that knocked my head off, you know. I think that happened to Dr. Johnson, right? Got turned around by Bigfoot penis.
The 200 nights, Stacy, that you talked about, was that 200 nights in your research area, or was that different? Okay, in your research area. So you feel like after some of the initial times out there, the incidences have declined. Just do you think through familiarity with you, you haven't seen or heard as much as you did in the initial times?
Yeah, they declined. Back in the day, I would chase them. I would run after them, which wasn't the right approach. You know, I'm pretty fast. Like, I pride myself on how fast I can run. And I thought I could run these things down. It just doesn't make sense. They're dry. They're covering so much more ground, you know, than me, and they're used to them woods and stuff. And, you know, back then I didn't know the territory like I know now. Now I can draw you a very detailed map of where every ravine, hole, tree, and everything's at.
Okay.
And that's very important to keep one research area so you know everything, because it's dark and they can see just fine. You need to know where they're going to hide, where they can be. If you're hearing that noise, where would they be at over there? Okay, hey, I know where they're at right now. You just heard that knock from over there. I know where they're at. This is how we're going to approach that spot. And that's how we do things. But yeah, it's always the new person that has, you know, and not necessarily a new person, just the person that doesn't go out there a lot. I a lot of time take just go by myself. If I don't go with David, I usually will go just by myself. For a simple fact, I'm business, you know. This is business when I get out there. This is very important. I don't have to worry about David. I don't have to tell David to be quiet. I don't have to tell David to walk a little quieter. I don't have to tell David to get down and to walk in between the trees, walk from cover to cover, and walk just down straight down the trail. Other people I do. But it's always the new person or the person that's not going all the time that has the activity. And I think maybe because also there's a sense of fear with the new people. Always a little skittish, you know. And I used to be like that. I was a little timid when I go in the woods, but now it's not like that. I'm not. I own the place when I go into it. Just like anything. Right. When I go into the bar, the women notice it. When I go in the woods, why wouldn't the Bigfoot notice it? You know what I mean? The guys don't want me to know how they look down. So, I mean, it is what it is.
Are you still researching the area where you had the thermal? Is that one of your areas or your area?
Yeah. Well, the place I hunt majority is all on the same creek. One end is this house where they have the handprint and stuff is on Find a Bigfoot. The other end of this creek is where I got the thermal footage. It's about 5 or 6 mile difference. And it's just more or less where they at along this creek at that time. You know, I think they move into an area and they'll stay there till the game moves out or till the fruit or whatever they're eating at that point moves out. But the problem is, I think it would take too much energy for them to kill a deer, you know, as opposed to snakes, frogs, you know, crawfish. Other things that are in the area, trash cans.
Palmetto bugs.
Yep, sheep, goats, you know. And deer's quick, you know. But
yeah,
I see how they do it. Because I've got it every
the
time I go
researchers.
Out.
Researchers.
Yeah,
some of those old movies, the researchers didn't think that they even ate deer. You know, that's kind of more of a newer thing that, you know, I know
Matt
Moneymaker, yeah, he says we know they eat deer.
25 years. I've been hunting them 25 years. Yep,
and
sure
I
have,
don't
brother.
Even have a, you know, he doesn't even have a picture.
So
yeah, the deer would require a lot of energy, and maybe it would require multiple Sasquatch. You know, some people say they throw rocks at them. They're faster than them. I mean, there's just so much speculation in this Bigfoot stuff. I guess that's all we really have right now.
Yeah. I mean, it can be done, because every time I'm in the woods, I am very close. I'm talking like 10 yards to these deer. I just do not have the speed to jump out from where I'm at and catch them.
That's right. There is videos of that, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, there was literally 6 months ago, I had an 8-point walk 2 foot in front of me. Did not even know I was there, and I just went, "Ooh!" And the thing just like gone, dude. I mean, I could have reached out and grabbed it. That's how close I thermed it the whole way up. Walking right up, I'm like, damn, this thing's going to walk right on top of me. And that's the only reason I made a noise, because it was still coming. You know, but I was in prime position. The wind was blowing in my face, taking my scent the other way. You know, I'd been sitting in that spot. I creeped up on them and just sitting there in the bush, and it literally didn't know I was there until it got up. And then I don't even think it still knew where I was at. I just made the sound, and it hit the road. So, I mean,
what kind
it could
of predators,
happen.
What kind of predators do the deer have down there? Is it a hunting area?
On the particular property that I go to, they have a Florida panther, which I was able to successfully therm some of them. But the panthers moved back out. It's kind of weird with the panthers. The panther comes and goes. When the panther comes, the Sasquatch activity stops. When Sasquatch activity picks back up, the panther's gone. When the panther comes in, the bobcat's gone. I won't find the bobcat's tracks no more. There's like 3 bobcats that live out there, right? But when I start finding the bobcat tracks, I don't find the panther tracks. So these animals, they're all territorial, and they don't go into each other's territory. I think it's based a lot on what Sasquatch is doing. The bobcat obviously doesn't give a damn about the Bigfoots. And maybe no threat to him. But with the panther, I think maybe it's just they're eating the same food I am. You know, they're only like 4 times bigger than me. What's that?
So these aren't city deer, because there's deer in parks here that I can get real close to, but they don't have any predators. You know, no hunters.
No, these deer are... these deer are very all to go, very spooked, you know, all the time. They're all the time looking around and stuff. But, you know, I'm the dude that's always loaded with chiggers because I, like, crawl through the grass. So, I mean, it's like a permanent nesting. I can get rid of them, but there's going to be some more next weekend, you know. So I'm constantly have these chigger bites all over me. And... but it's just, you got to get out there and do it, you know. You got to, I'm not going to spray off on me, because then I'm going to smell like that and give my spot away. I just have to put up with it, because they don't affect me till 3 days later. 3 days later, it really sucks, you know. You know, so, but yeah, there's no black bear there. If you go to State Park where I film, they caught the footage, I can go in there at any given time and find signs of black bear and hogs. But then down here at the property, none. I've never, and I've been there 3 years, and I've never seen one hog track, one bear track, none of it.
What's the distance, say, would you say, Stacy, between the state park and your research area?
As the crow flies to the film site, I think it's about 5 miles, 5-6 miles.
5 miles. Okay.
It's a pretty big area, and there's not a lot of people. You may have, because it's actually 14 miles if you're driving, right, to the front of the park, but you got to turn down stuff. So let's say there's 30 miles right here, right?
Yeah.
You may have 100 people that live in this area.
Okay, wow.
Not a lot of people. I mean, North Florida is very rural. Once you get out of the city, very rural. And these things could be anywhere. But for some reason, they like here. You know, I always keep a journal when I go out, and I'm very methodical about that, you know. But every time I think I have a pattern, and I learned this about a year ago, every time I think I have a pattern with these creatures, wipe everything clean and start over because there's no pattern at all.
Wow.
And it's just, it's aggravating. They piss me off. You know, I mean, they really, they're not my favorite people. I know some people fall in love. Oh, Sasquatch, I don't want to hurt them. They're my forest friends. Hell with them greasy bastards. They piss me off because they are hard to get in touch with, you know. And it just is what it is, you know.
With the famous thermal that you got with your dad, how long, if ever, had you been working that site where you got that thermal? How many times had you been working there, looking for the creature?
I've probably been there 5 or 6 times.
Only about 5 or 6, so you hadn't been
at that time. Yep, at that time I'd only probably been there 5 or 6 times. Each time we'd had activity. And my dad sold his boat because he seen I quit my band and that I was going, you know, balls to the wall on this damn Bigfoot, you know. And he's like, all right, listen, I'm going to sell my boat. We get you a nice thermal camera. We can go out and use it. And if there's really Bigfoot there, because we got a picture the first night I ever went Bigfooting. We got a picture of a Bigfoot on the thermal, on this little crappy thermal. First time I went Bigfooting at this property. I've been with BFRO a couple times. And I cashed my 401k in and sold a truck. I believe I slept on the couch for like a month over this. Ex-wife was not happy. And you know, I do what I want. I'm sexy brown. So she had to deal with that. But, you know, so dad gets a good thermal. And then when we're out there with him, I mean, on the unseen footage, you see a man become a Bigfoot believer right then. Bam.
Really?
You know?
Really?
And look on the face. That just tells it all. So I'm almost done with the documentary at this point. I would be done with it, but I was listening to my interview I did the other day, and there's a plane flew over, and you just hear it, and it's driving me nuts. I mean, I guess I could put it out, but just makes me insane. I'm like, why does I not know this? I'm talking, and the guy filming didn't say, hey, plane, let's take a break. I know you're paying me to be out here. So it's a market kind of stuff, but I'm really unprofessional. You know, so it is what it is, but, so I've got to do my interview again and then just edit it, and it's just a real quick edit, and I'll be done with it. Put it on YouTube, you know, not charge people to see it. Just let people watch it. It's going to be like 30 minutes, 30, 45 minutes long.
Okay.
So, now I'm trying to make money. I mean, I will put ads on it, and hopefully they'll click them.
Y'all click.
You know, let me make a little bit of money. But I just want to get this stuff out. It's been a headache. I had it done, man. I had it completely done. And then I started back to square one.
Exciting stuff.
So
you were at the when you were up at the Hopsquatch, you did visit the Browns, Jonathan and Sarah.
Yeah, they're good friends of Bob. We went there, stayed with them for like 4 days. You know, Squatch is a little bit different. They do things differently, and I'm fine with that. You know, anytime I go to somebody else's area, respect what they want to do. You know, and we'll do things their way. I just want to be there for it. There really wasn't no activity. But we just kind of sit at the gazebo, and the Bigfoots come up. It's kind of odd, you know. It's kind of the same thing in the place I work, that one house. Bigfoots come to it. I'm just sitting there waiting on them with my dart gun. You know, but they live on this Indian reservation, and there's a bunch of Bigfoot sightings out there. Everybody out there on the reservation talks of Bigfoot. It's just there. Yeah, it's no big deal. Yeah, hey, we seen Bigfoot the other day.
That's actually basically just about. I'm calling from Westport, Washington. That's just north of me, a few dozen miles north of me. And because Westport's sort of on the south end of the Olympic Peninsula, and there's stories left and right. There's a lot of activity going on.
Oh, there is. I'm actually relocating. You know, I don't want to leave this site I got now because, honestly, I've been to all the best spots in the country, and I have the best spot in the country, in my opinion. You know, I can hear Knox. Exactly. And it's like, oh, you see him on Finding Bigfoot. They're like, I heard Knox. That's why we go Bigfooting right there.
Yeah.
That's not why I go Bigfooting. That's just a Tuesday. You know what I mean? So, it's one of the best, most active spots I've ever been. The only other spot I'd rather be in was Bluff Creek. And that's my honest opinion. But I do plan on relocating here soon. It's just I'm torn between, you know, the spot because I'd like to get it done here. I believe I can get it done here. I believe I'm going to get it done anywhere. I'm the only person out there. If there's going to be no hoaxing at all. There's going to be no people wandering through. I feel bad for them if they do. They get shot with that dart gun, they're going to be hurting, especially at 50 yards.
You'd think less people go off-trail down there, too, because of the poisonous snakes and gators and things versus other parts of the country. Like, we don't have those here.
We have a bunch of poisonous snakes. I think there's like six or seven, you know. And, of course, I wear snake boots up to my knees. But some of these snakes bite you in the thigh. You know, we've seen a rattlesnake last year that was like 9 feet long.
Wow.
And it would kill you. You probably would have an hour to do something about yourself. I'd probably just blow my brains out at that time, you know, because there ain't no real reason to try to run back. you're just making it worse. So, I mean, what are you going to do? But, yeah, you know, there's a lot of dangers involved in Florida, and that's the cool thing about Washington. At Johnson's house, I walk around with barefoot. You're quieter that way, you know.
You're
I ain't got to worry about the snakes. I can crawl, and I don't have to worry about coming face-to-face with the snake. So,
you know, your biggest worries out here are slugs and poison oak, and that's it. You know, we have a fair amount of bear here, but just a little bit of noise, and they don't mess with you. You have plenty of cougar. There's plenty of cougar in the trees as well, but they don't mess with you either.
That's the only problem. When you're by yourself, the cougars freak me out, dude. It's just like, cats are the damn devil, bro. I mean, if you look in their face, you can just see it. They ain't right.
Yep, you got to pack some heat. That's funny you say that because I know a guy that was bow hunting, I believe, out in Colorado, and he was in full camo just waiting. I think he was going for elk, and he said a cougar went by him. Didn't, you know, it wasn't that big of a deal. And it wasn't long later, he turned around, and the thing jumped him. He said he saw the devil in its face, and he had one shot. Took that arrow, and boom, hit it right in the breastbone, right as it was jumping at him. And then it took off, and he trailed it and hit a major organ and killed it. And I saw the pictures and stuff, and it was just like, wow, dude. But he said that, too. He goes, man, that thing had the devil in its eye.
Yeah, they do, bro. They're not.
They do jump people, and he got jumped, but I think it's because he was hunting their food, you know.
I was about to say, yeah, there must have been some. Not, I mean, I mean, getting jumped by a cougar is a dang good story, and not to you know, not to demean it at all, but there must have been some reason why the cougar was jumping him, because, you know, cougar attacks on people do happen, but it's. At least up here in the Northwest, it's not that common at all up here.
Yeah. Last fall, I made the mistake of my buddy and his son were out with me, and we seen this heat signature, and it was moving weird. You know, it was just laying there, and it was moving weird, and I'm like, hey, watch this thing for like 20 minutes. I'm like, bro, this thing ain't going nowhere. I'm going to flush it out. I get down to like 5 feet from the thing. Can't see it. I go down there with no light, and I leave my pistol on the porch. So I go down, and then they moved, and my buddy screams, Panther, Panther. The two cubs run up the hill. The mother comes towards me. I end up, like, seeing a glimpse of her through the like, I guess, a starlight, moonlight, you know? And I'm like, go! You know, that's the only thing I can think to say. And this thing turns around and follows her cubs. You want to talk about scared, bro?
Yeah.
This is like 2 weeks for my balls to drop. So
No, you're right.
Frightened.
It's rare. It's rare to even see one. But don't. But they usually do attack from the back, don't they? They jump you.
Yeah. Oh, well, in Florida, I think there's only, they say there's like 80 panther here, you know, and to even get to see a couple of them, that's pretty awesome in itself, you know. And
are they black?
They didn't. They're African American, you know. don't disrespect, brother. No, but they are. They're tan.
Okay, so they're like a cougar or mountain lion.
Yeah, they're pretty much the same thing, just smaller. You know, different little subspecies, but pretty much the exact same thing. Tracks, when you're identifying the tracks, all pretty much the same. Few variances, but the FWC said they wasn't even above Ocala up in this area, and he's like, what you got there on thermal is not a panther. And then I'm like, oh, okay. Pulled out my backpack, and I put these tracks on the table that I had cast from where I filmed it, because he was right down in the mud, you know, left some nice, awesome tracks, some of the best tracks I've ever cast. And I was like, well, what is this then, bro? He's like, oh. He's like, well, where are you at? I'm like, yeah, I'm not telling you that. Because they'll come in and be like, you ain't gonna be doing nothing there no more because they have panthers here. No hunting going on here or anything like that. They're still in danger here.
Is there such a thing as the black panther, or is that a myth?
It's real. Now, they will tell you it's not. When I was a kid, that's what I thought the panthers were. I thought they were black because that's all I'd ever seen. Down at Alligator Point, we were riding down to the beach in the morning, and you would see the panthers, you know? And my buddy at work has just a killer picture of one that he took down here at a place called Turkey Point. But it's they'll tell you no because there's some deal about the cats don't carry the gene that makes them all black. But I've seen them. One of those things where science knows better, them and their degrees. You know.
Yeah, they really don't like to let us know we have these large predators, especially in urban areas. They've had a couple sighted in the suburbs here over the years, and it's kind of creepy because, you know, you go to these parks and there could be a cougar roaming, and you gotta be able to protect yourself just in case.
Yeah, of course. You know, I feel bad for people that don't take guns in the woods with them for whatever their personal beliefs are, because you're just asking for it, bro. I ain't gonna be a victim. At all. You know, I carry my gun with me all the time. I paid money to get my permit so I can take my gun with me. If you meet me in the store, I have got my gun on me right then. All the time. I ain't going to be stuck and not have my gun, you know. Because the hell with that, dude. I don't care if I'm in the woods, Walmart, before Brady's eating dinner, I'm going to have my gun. Ain't catching on me like that. Ain't gonna be a victim.
Better to be safe than sorry, huh?
Yeah, exactly, man.
Well, especially like you said, Stacy, if you paid the money for the permit and the ammo and the gun, you might as well use it. Else, what's the point of just sticking it under your bed?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and, you know, I teach all my kids. They're young. I got a 10, a 6, and a 5-year-old. They know where all my guns are through the house. We got a gun in every room. God help person that breaks in my house, you know. But my kids, you teach them at a young age, you don't mess with this, this is what it does. So, they said, you know, that's why I'm in the woods. I'm not going to kill a Bigfoot with my .45. But, you know, if that panther decides to rear his head and want to try to jump me, it may be the only thing that saves my life. So, and you know the most scariest thing to run in the woods, too? I've ever ran into in the woods was people. I used to go and throw my mullet net down on Wakulla Beach, which the bridge was out, so you had to walk 2 miles down this trail to the point down there where Skipper Creek come in. And I'm tucking my net. It's like it's morning time. I mean, the sun's just now coming up. And I'm like a mile down this road, and there's a dude. And I'm like, this ain't just a normal dude. This dude looks crazy as shit. And I'm just like, oh, man, what am I doing? You know, what is about to happen here? And that is weird. It's human intention. They're the scariest animal on the planet, in my opinion. You know, what was this guy doing out there in the woods? I guess he was living out there, you know. He wasn't there when I came back, but the whole time I was out there, I'm just thinking, where's this dude at? You know, trying to fish.
Yeah.
Heard about this guy coming behind me, and it was then that I decided I ain't going nowhere without my gun again. So.
It's nice to be the sneaky one in the woods, the one that observes people, you know, before they observe you. And
oh, yeah.
Be in areas where there isn't people.
But when you're on the other side of that table, it ain't such a cool thing. You know, this dude probably watched me walk right by on the way out. You know, doing God knows what weirdo.
Well, we've reached the top of the hour, so we're going to take a short break. And we'll be back with more with Stacy Brown Jr. And I leave you with Stacy Brown and the Big Bad Wolves song called Far.
We'll be right back. reach Stacy Brown with the SasquatchHunters.com. Please leave your name and number, and I'll return your call. Thank you.
The mailbox is full and cannot accept any messages at this time. Goodbye.
All right, we're back. And we have lost Stacy Brown.
I was not sure if that message was part of the music soundtrack or not. I thought it was a pretty cool thing to add in. I wasn't sure what was going on.
That's good.
Well, hopefully we can get him back on the line here, because hopefully there's some callers who want to call in, and goodness knows I have a couple more questions for him.
Yeah. See what we can muster up here. I'll give him a call. His phone went dead. Yeah, that fit right in with the music.
Michelle, fantastic. I love it.
We will give him a call.
You reached Stacy Brown with the SasquatchHunters.com. Please leave your name and number, and I'll return your call. Thank you.
I'll send him a message. He can call us, too.
Okay, good. He's probably scrambling for another phone, I bet you.
Yeah, so not only is he one of the greatest skunk ape trackers ever to step foot in a Florida swamp, he's a rock star.
Yeah, he is. Was that Stacy on vocals?
Yep.
Okay, good. Man, I like it. Fantastic. Cool.
Yeah, so it seems like he's got a full plate. Busy
Stacy
guy, I know.
Stacy brought up really interesting points just in the general mountaineering, Sasquatching world of carrying guns or not to carry guns, which of course is just a personal decision everyone has to make. I don't, mainly because where, you know, I go up on the mountain, I really don't have that much to worry about. There are elk up there, but I'm so far up that near the timberline, I don't have a lot of bear. They're further below. And so but again, there's a difference, you know. There's a lot that can kill you where Stacy goes in Florida as opposed to Southwest Washington, where there's not much that can kill you out there. But he also brought up some really good points of general techniques. I have a friend who's a researcher, Angus Mann, and he'll go out a lot by himself. I like to take him with me because he's the watcher. He's really good about just sitting very, very quietly and just watching and listening for hours and hours at a time. I'll be out messing around in the woods, and he'll just want to stay where he's camped and just sit there for hours and just listen and let phenomenon or animals or anything come to him. So Stacy brought up some really interesting just general ideas about just technique of being out in the woods and having something happen to you or not happen to you.
Yeah, I like that idea of just going out once and just setting up. Another researcher told me to do that. He's like, you know, I think it was Tracy Arnold. We had him on the show. He's like, go out there and sit for a few hours and observe, you know, and get the feel for your area and what kind of animals and sounds and things. Because it can be a wild goose chase out there, and yeah, depending on the area. Here we don't really have any major predators. In the northern part of the state, we have black bears, and there are some wolves, but there's no real high cougar population or...
In the south part, you have snakes, though, don't you? Snakes that
supposedly we do in southeastern Minnesota, but nobody goes there.
Okay. Well, okay then.
It's just a bunch of farms and prairies. So, yeah, I did hear that, but I've never seen one here. And, you know, I spent a lot of time in the Black Hills of South Dakota as a kid, and There's a lot of fear-mongering out there about the rattlesnakes, you know, and somewhat rightfully so, especially if you're a kid. But I only saw one out there, and I spent a lot of time out there every year. So they're rare, and you usually hear the rattles.
Sure, sure. What little experience I have with rattlesnakes are down in New Mexico, and generally they're a lot more scared of you than, you know, than you are of them, and they don't want to have to deal with humans, so they get out of your way. Not much to worry about. So
we were just told, be careful when you're stepping over a log or a rock or something where you can't see what's on the other side. It's better to go around it, especially if you're not wearing snake boots.
Especially if you're not wearing snake boots.
Which we never did either.
I never did. I only have a vague idea of what these are. I'm such a Northwest kid. I have an idea what snake boots are. I've never seen them.
You reached Stacy Brown with the SasquatchHunters.com.
Yeah.
Please leave your name and number, and I'll return your call. Thank you.
The mailbox is...
So, we don't have those kind of things, especially, you know, in the urban areas. There's no predators down here. I mean, there's some coyotes somewhere, but
sure.
That's about the biggest. So the deer are pretty tame. I've walked real close to some deer pretty recently. I feel like they expected me to reach my hand out with food, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I was in the woods, but there's houses nearby, and they must be getting fat, or they're just curious.
If there's houses nearby, they're getting fat, you know? Some really nice old lady leaving out the deer lick or apples or whatever for them.
Yeah. What's this guy going to give me?
Yeah, that's the truth. That's the truth. Yeah.
Well, they got it good around here.
Until we get Stacy back on the line, I was taking a look, and again, at his thermal footage, the famous, you know, Stacy Brown Jr. and Senior thermal footage. And I could only find that the only analysis, or what I would call somewhat in-depth analysis of his footage, was by Cliff Berrickman. Do you know of any other analysis out there of that thermal footage other than Berrickman's analysis of it? Has anyone really taken a look at it and tried to pick it apart?
No, I don't. I don't personally.
I couldn't find anything either.
Did Cliff go down there? No, I think some of the Finding Bigfoot guys did, but I'm not sure if Cliff did.
I'm uncertain about that myself. That was one of my questions for Stacy, is because at least for the Finding Bigfoot folks, there was some recreation footage done of standing in about the same place at the same camera angle, so on and so forth, and send someone out there where the subject was filmed and have this about the same walking path to try to recreate everything and maybe try to get some height comparisons, you know, depth of field comparisons and whatnot. Whether Cliff was there or not, I don't know. But that analysis I found to be good. Too much of the time in other critiques of Stacy's thermal footage, And I found it very similar to other kinds of critiques where there's a lot of armchair, you know, laptop, computer kind of critiques without actually going down there and seeing it for yourself. A lot of it was just armchair reviews, which I think was unkind. I really believe that it's until you want to contact Stacy, talk to him about it, actually visit the site, you really don't have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, it sounds like his documentary is going to be showing us some things we haven't seen, maybe like that video of his dad's reaction when he was filming his dad filming the Bigfoot. So that'll be neat.
I think that's exciting because there may be more there. There may be more evidence there, and it's just, if nothing else, it's just supportive evidence of the filming of the person who actually filmed the imaging, you know. I'm excited. I know I know the production of a documentary can be torturous, and it can just haunt you, and you just can't wait to get the dang thing done. So I feel for Stacy. I hope he gets it out soon. I'm excited to see it, and I also, just for his own well-being, I hope he gets it done, because it can be really hard to get a documentary out. It's really hard.
Yeah, especially... especially with when you get it deleted once.
That's a whole other issue we were talking about earlier. You have to have a pretty supportive family and not angry ex-wife deleting your evidence off your computer.
And the good part is it's going to be free, too.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. I really appreciate that. I mean, you have to keep it up with financing of some sort. And so I can understand, you know, the banner ads that he's planning on having. But that says a lot. I believe that it has a lot to say about Stacy Brown's story. Just the fact that he's putting it out on YouTube for free. Speaks a lot to it. He's obviously a man interested in women and money, just from talking with him for the past hour. But the fact that he's not out there charging $1 million for it, and he's doing a lot of this work for free, which a lot of us are. I mean, a lot of us don't get paid for this. It speaks a lot to the credibility, I think, of the evidence that he has found, that he's not looking for a career in it.
Yeah, and he's definitely got the passion and the attitude to get the job done. And
you can say that. Yeah,
he's got the age. He's got age on his side still. He's a prime candidate to discover Bigfoot.
Yeah, he has a good attitude for it too. I think that with his stories about visiting Dr. Todd's lab helped him out a lot, and I believe it does. You know, if you hung out with, you know, Jeff Meldrum or something like that, or anybody who has a lot more education and experience than I have, just hanging out with them to know what they want, to know what you can bring them, is going to really benefit the whole cause as well. From bad evidence to corrupted evidence, you know, like Stacy pointed out, he's not in a sterile condition but in the woods, but he still wants to try not to compromise the evidence as much as possible. The more that you do that, the more it just ends up right back into the whole maelstrom of arguments online, and, you know, uncertainties is the best thing that you can get out of it at the end, like you brought up with the whole Ketchum DNA issue. You know, it just ends up in an argument battle, which doesn't do anything, which doesn't do any good for the cause.
Yeah, and I think that's great that he's got Digital on his side and that science is willing to work with Bigfooters now. And in a way, it's good that Digital doesn't believe in Bigfoot. You know, there's no belief in the way. It's just you give him the samples, he gives you the results.
You bet.
He's not going to make something up or do this or that. He wants to prove this too. I mean, he'd go down in history as, you know, much less
even definitively disprove it. Either way, the man is just looking for evidence, and that's one thing I really appreciate. I myself, I can't speak to what my belief system is on Sasquatch or ghosts or UFOs or anything. I don't know. I really don't know. But I believe in evidence. I believe that you can never have too much evidence one way or another. You have to accept it all, whether it's in support of your project or if it's to the detriment of your project. I think all evidence is good, and so I think it's important to have those kind of people on your side, people who can really analyze things for you and also tell you the truth, to say, nope, wrong answer, not good, try it again.
Yeah, it seems like he's got people pulling him to move up to the Pacific Northwest, but he's torn between his hot spot.
Oh, of course, sure. You bet. I can understand that. I mean, he's put in a lot of hours down there, man.
Yeah, maybe he can train a new Jedi in.
To take over the Florida work.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then he can move on to the Pacific Northwest. Bigfoot.
Well, if he wants to, especially out here on the coast, he'd certainly be welcome, because there is a lot of work to be done out here, without a doubt. You know, like he said, you know, it's a regular Tuesday, just the knocks and the whoops out in the forest. Well, honestly, out here, it's a regular Tuesday every day out here in the Pacific Northwest.
That's a full episode of Finding Bigfoot.
Yeah. Huh?
That's a full episode of Finding Bigfoot.
Exactly.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I know.
No, I didn't hear that. You got a $1 million production, and I still can't hear it.
Oh, Johnny, I know. But, you know, like, I mean, just the fact that producers are still willing to throw money at the show says something. Like you said, just the fact that there is some members of the scientific body out there that are willing to, you know, at least pay attention to people like Stacy and other researchers, that says a lot. Because God knows, honestly, scientific research, you know, ad infinitum has been driven by money. It's been driven by people who are going to be sponsoring a certain study or sponsoring your project. And I think that for a lot of these folks, they don't have any money. You know, if you have a geneticist, a chemist, biologist, it's not going to pay for them to go supporting Bigfoot research at all. So they essentially have to do it for free. So up until we get to that point, we really have to appreciate the members of the scientific community who are willing to support Bigfoot research, because just like Dr. Todd, they have to do it for free because they're not going to get grant money for it, at least not yet.
Yeah, and on that note, welcome back, Stacy.
What's up, man?
Oh, Stacy, I'm glad you made it.
Sorry about that. My phone constantly rings all day, so about this time it gets to going dead, and for some reason it didn't tell me it was about to go dead. It just went out.
Okay.
Then we were just talking about Todd Dissitol and science and how it's great to have them on the Bigfooting team.
It is, you know, because for like I tell people, he doesn't believe in Bigfoot, and which is fine. I take that as a challenge, you know, to I prove Bigfoot's real to him. Once he tells me that, hey, what you got here is a Bigfoot, then I know I've done something, you know, change that man's mind.
Sure.
I've done something. So is what it is, but I love the challenge at anything, you know, so it just makes me push myself that much harder.
Nice.
You know, one thing, Stacy, we were talking about while you were working on the phone is about the thermal footage and the Finding Bigfoot crew, and specifically we were talking about Cliff Berrickman's analysis of the thermal imagery, which I read through, and I appreciated Cliff's analysis of it, and it seemed to be one of the only analysis that I could really find of the thermal imagery. Do you know of anybody else who has taken that thermal imagery and analyzed it to his degree, at least? Has anybody else given an analysis or critique of it? I should say an in-depth critique of it. Has anybody contacted you and talked to you about that?
Facebook Find Bigfoot did. Yeah. I don't know how much credit that leads to my video, but, you know, they did. Goobers.
Yeah.
They were so stoked, bro. I know I'm going to jump off the subject here for a little bit, but it's all right. This is interesting. They were so stoked that this video proved Jack's theory. And Jack's theory. Now, this dude thought of himself like Einstein, because his theory of Bigfoot, and I ain't joking, I'm being dead-ass honest right now, his theory of Bigfoot was that we evolved down from them. We were them at one point, and we evolved down, and his theory, once my video came out, was more important than the theory of relativity. He said that to me on the phone. I was like, fucking crazier than I am, bro. You know what I mean? You just brought up Einstein in a Bigfoot conversation. They don't even belong together. Nowhere near each other, you know? So, yeah, but no, there's not really been no in-depth analysis besides this. You have one guy, William something, Dudrangus or something, retard.
Right on.
He come forward saying it was a hoax, you know, because the trees weren't the right color. And, you know, he didn't take into account the precipitation that I had that day, the amount of rain that fell.
Sure.
A lot of factors he left out. It was more or less a Sharon Lee wanting to dog me out for, you know, I'll go into it anyways, because I wouldn't bang her in L.A. because she's nasty.
Fair enough.
In Los Angeles with her. Yeah, she's nasty, bro. But anyways, Stacey Brown don't do that. So wouldn't go there with her. And so after that, she started, I made the show and she didn't. So she started to kill me, you know, just started attacking me on everything. It's like, you got this guy who was a FLIR thermographer back in 1964. Or some crap. And he's going to come forward and say all this stuff. Well, you know, Cliff and Bart Pacino were real vocal on coming forward and defending my footage. You know, saying that,
Did Cliff go down there?
To the film site?
Yeah.
Yeah, Cliff has been here to the film site. And see, this another thing this William guy didn't take into account is that when this footage was premiered to the world, it was premiered at the 2012 FLIR conference in Orlando. There was probably 300 FLIR representatives in the room watching this footage, and none of them had a problem with any of the footage. All of them come up and shook my hand. The ones that didn't believe in Bigfoot said, dude, I don't know what you filmed, but that's really there. You know, and they all studied the footage after that. They were all obsessed with the coverage. But, yeah, it was... Cliff's analysis kind of nailed it down. You know, it took a while to get the analysis done. He came down with the Finding Bigfoot show, and then he redid his analysis after that, because what he based his analysis on was the numbers that I gave him, which were pretty much the same numbers. They varied a few feet, inches, things like that. No big deal. There was the variances in the two were, I mean, they were pretty close. So,
there was, yeah, the differences were pretty small between his two analysis. It was pretty minor, I felt.
Yeah, yeah, well, I said no big deal. He still felt it was a Sasquatch. And that was the one piece of footage that Renee looked at that she just could not say that could be a human, because the thing was so much bigger than Bobo. Bobo looked small, and Bobo's big, dude. Bobo is a big man. And Bobo looked small up next to that footage. And I think that was really the time when my father bought into that it was an actual Bigfoot. Because up until then, he was, well, man, maybe there was somebody out there messing with us. I'm like, somebody, it was pitch black, bro. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face. What are you talking about right now? You're trying to talk yourself out of what we had happen.
Hmm.
That's what he was trying to do. And, you know, he accused me of having somebody mess out there with him, and, you know, I did the same thing to him. Because before I seen it, he's like, when he's running, and I'm like, you messing with me? And I think that's even on the uncut or the unseen footage, the handycam footage. I asked him, are you messing with me right now? You know, I had no idea. I didn't see nothing. I was just filming him, and he goes taking off running. We gotta go. You know, you got your gun. Blah, blah. I'm like, well, what are we running from? I have no idea. I heard the things. I didn't know he had seen a Bigfoot. No, he had filmed one. So, you know, when Cliff came down, and, you know, I was so thankful for Cliff, because had we released that footage without the analysis, it wouldn't be able to stand. You know what I mean? People would shoot it down. It'd be kind of like the Paul Holes of the film.
It would have gotten a lot more beat up. I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. And we didn't catch no grief, honestly. That footage was out for a while, a whole year before the show even aired. I didn't catch no grief until that show came out. And then I received death threats and all this and that.
Yeah, the good old Bigfoot community, huh?
Oh, yeah, bro. Lunatic, dude, lunatic. A lot of it came from Dr. Johnson's camp. You know, they were the show was titled Bigfoot Bounty. So before the show even aired, everybody thought that we were able to just go out there and kill a Bigfoot. Go kill a Bigfoot. Not even what it was about. You know, but whatever.
Like that's some easy chore anyway.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to go out there with a camera crew that's never been in the woods at all. These guys don't even know where they're at right now. They don't know what to do at all. They're making all kinds of noise, and, yeah, we're going to film any animal. That was a test, just to see any animal at all. You're taking a bunch of city slickers out in the woods, you know? So, like, I had Billy Crystal with me.
Did you give him snake boots? Did they have snake boots on?
No. That would have been fun.
Oh, my goodness. Really? Okay.
We actually, one time on the show, but we was at Bluff Creek. We were following these tracks, the best trackway I've ever found. In my opinion, one of the best trackways ever found. We were following.
In the show?
Yeah, on the show.
Okay,
probably
I remember
the best
that.
Trackway ever found by anybody. Especially where it led to. And, you know, Spike kind of dropped the ball because they were looking for Bigfoot evidence the whole time, and then we give them Bigfoot evidence, and they don't even show up for like a minute. And I'm like, dude, what? Now we're back to drama again. Who's fighting, me and Michael Merchant? You know, who cares? This show's about Bigfoot, bro. It's not about the fact I'm about to punch Michael Merchant in the face, you know? But so we're following these tracks, right, and they get to where this, like, 200-foot ravine is, and there's a log going across it. And it's shady as hell. And I'm like, we're going. We get them across that log. And then this trail leads up the side of the hill. And really, the trail's about 9 inches wide. After 9 inches, it drops, I'd say, I mean, it's a steep slope. Drops down into the bottom of that ravine. And then it drops, or it's going straight up after that. So the ground gives way, you're done. Well, the camera crews, they had permission. He'd been given time to stop us, to make us turn around. So they tell us to stop. We can't go no further. That it's not safe. And I looked at David, and then David, he gets that look on his face, and I see he's agreeing with what I'm thinking. And I turn to them, and I'm like, listen, bro, this we don't come across this every day. I said, y'all want to go back? We'll see you there. I know how to get the truck. I'll be there when I'm done. I said, there's a Bigfoot at the end of these tracks, bro. And you're going to tell me to stop? They're like, well, you got to stop. I was like, I ain't got to do a damn thing. You going to make me? You going to put your hands on me and make me come out these woods? I said, I get back to extraction. I said, you better take your GPS and get on back to the truck. So they radioed in. They're like, they called us the Southern Squatchers. That was our name on the show. That's how the crew was identifying everybody. They had little different names and shit. So they're like, Southern Squatchers found some Bigfoot tracks, and it's really sketchy right now. It's really dangerous. We've told them to turn around, and they said no. And I don't know what production said to them in his earpiece, but after about 20 seconds, old boy says, all right, y'all go ahead, and starts following. I was like, yeah, that's what I like it. Throw a sack, bro.
Okay.
Because
I
could walk away from that, you know. I mean, that was the best thing found on the show.
I remember that. You guys were going through some thick stuff.
Oh, yeah, dude. And it's just Spike dropped the ball. They didn't really document it like they should because that structure, the cameraman actually got in there and filmed those handprints. And then all they show is David putting his hands up to where the handprints were. They didn't show them themselves. Who in their right mind was bringing their kid out there? You know, these tracks went to this structure, went away from this structure, went up the side of the hill. We tried to climb the side of this hill. Slate, the tracks went right up. I'm talking about I had to crawl it on my knees, but I just couldn't get up it. I kept falling back down because the slate would give way. And that's where that thing went, you know, right up on the top of that hill. Had we got up there, I believe we could have got some footage of a Bigfoot.
Really? Yeah.
Huh. Have we just had a rope, a climbing rope? So, you know, now that's something I carry in my pack every time I visit a place with hills, a climbing rope, in case I can't get into where I need to get. I may need to drop down in some ravine, see what's down up in that hole. I won't be unprepared again. I was that day, though. You know, live and learn, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was in the Bluff Creek area, huh?
Yeah, I was in Bluff Creek. They all decided, the girls, they won the map, which I knew what was going to happen to that. It turned them into tourists. And they walked around, oh, here's a spot. Oh, there was a sighting right there, blah, 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 you know. I don't need no map to tell me where the Bigfoots are.
Yeah, yeah.
The Bigfoots are going to be in the spot where you can't get to. That's where they're going to stay. That's where they're going to feel comfortable. They're going to be in the spot where you ain't going to go. And guess what? That's where we're going. That's exactly where we headed to. And so Merchant and the girls, they all stayed right on the creek level. And I think it really doomed them, you know, in the end. The girls, you know, we didn't help them out. We carried them the whole show. After the second episode, me and David picked the weakest team we felt. And it was them girls. They claimed they were hunters and things like that. And my boy is more of a woodsman than either one of them put together. And he's 10 years old, and I'm not lying. That dude will run circles around him. Probably the only person on the show my son would not run circles around would be Michael Merchant. For what it's worth, Michael Merchant actually knows what he's doing. So when my son is his age, no problem. He might actually go live in the woods and just be there. You know what I mean? But, yeah, we toted them. We told them what to say during elimination, how to tie their evidence into Bigfoot. We should have got a trophy for dragging two teams to the final three. And our goal was to bring bring the weakest team to the end and then have an easy victory at the end. But then Shaney made the comment that, you know, they got there by themselves. And I was like, what? You got
really?
Here by yourself? And we called them out on it, you know, and... So we were on the river rafting, and we'd seen they were scratching out tracks on shore, you know. They're scratching tracks. And now these girls, complete disgrace to any kind of hunter. Now, the hunters I know are a real deal. They're not this garbage. These girls couldn't tell the difference between a bobcat track and a raccoon track. I tried to tell them they were holding that bobcat track upside down. Said that's you know, I mean, that's not a raccoon track. You have the track upside down right now. And they're like, oh, no, we don't do it. I'm like, all right. Well, it turns out they don't. They spread right again. They had to, they just, you know, they didn't think, they thought they was better, thought they knew better. Turned out they didn't. And then they had to make a map, they get up there and see tracks on the shore and they scratch it out. And I told the judges, I'm like, how do you know what tracks they got? Anybody can ride down the river and say, oh, I've seen bear, cougar, this and that. So they proved last challenge they don't know what they're talking about. You know, at least Merchant knows what he's talking about. If he said there's a track up there, I ain't going to doubt him on what track he's seen. That man knows his stuff. These girls had no skill set at all. They were just pretty much the hunting they do. I'm sure the hunting they do is some guy leads them out to a deer stand off of a field where there's a corn plot, and they're telling you, hey, the deer's going to come through this way at 11 o'clock, be ready to shoot. And there they are, they're hunting. That's not hunting, you know. Hunting to me, I don't do that deer stand thing, you know. Stalk the deer. Walk to them. Get close enough to get to them where you can take that shot. That's hunting. That's a challenge. That's a sport. What they do ain't no sport, you know. They're just going out there slaughtering stupid animals. My opinion.
Did any of the other teams get any prizes?
No. If you ain't first, you last.
Okay.
Really?
And they were all last. So they were all last. But it was kind of bad because, like, the first five episodes, we didn't even get called out to elimination. Everybody had been out except for us. And then there was, like, the whole thing. Everybody kept calling, oh, y'all the golden boys, y'all the golden boys, and ain't y'all untouchable, ain't gonna mess with y'all because they show Dr. Todd downing everybody. There, those eliminations, when we were up there giving our evidence, they were like 20-minute conversations, you know, and of course they cut it down into like 30 seconds.
Sure.
Dr. Todd saying something rude every single time except for once. I made the mistake of finding a deer skull that had the antlers cut off. I'm not no deer hunter. You know, I've never seen nothing like that. I thought it was some type of vertebrae or something. I know it was a skull. I just thought it was a huge-ass vertebrae. But they got us on that. We ended up going to elimination for that. But every other time, good job. Y'all know what y'all doing. Y'all are clearly ahead of the pack. Things like that, you know. As we went in the show, we have a forensics guy on our team. We knew how to collect DNA and not contaminate. We didn't tell Dr. Todd that, because if we messed up, I didn't want him to ream us a new one.
Yeah.
You know? So, it was kind of not really much of a challenge. The other teams got low about it. They were accusing the producers of helping us win and things like that, and it was really stupid. They tried everything they could to get us knocked off of the show, like, because they couldn't beat us in the woods. You know, and see how that worked out for them.
Well, speaking
it was
of,
entertaining.
Speaking of your big win, not to get into your personal business or anything, but what are your plans for the big research grant that you got? What are your plans for the big money?
I've spent most of it on cocaine and hookers at this point.
Okay,
well,
that's reasonable.
You know.
All right.
No,
I mean, who wouldn't? Come on.
Yeah, right. You know, no, you know, I bought the dart gun. I bought the scope. Now we've actually received some sponsors, so we're getting a lot of free gear right now.
Oh, good for you! Great, really good.
Yeah, you know, it's nice to have some of these companies jumping on the Bigfoot bandwagon. But our site's really the hits we're getting every month warrants it. You know, these companies are getting the publicity. They're getting getting their money for us for what they're sending us. But, you know, we're spending it mainly, you know, to pay for our Bigfooting because it costs money. The batteries cost money, the gas, the food we eat while we're out there. And so we're able to do it more.
And the winnings were split between two people, right? You and David.
Yeah, I got 50,000 and David got 50,000.
Okay.
So, and that's 50,000 to hunt Bigfoot. Who in the hell wouldn't want that, you know?
Well, of course.
I mean, really, we can do whatever we want to with the money. But we are fairly, you know, it's just like, it's just going towards Bigfooting. We have jobs on business. So I've got other money. We both got other incomes coming in. We don't have to touch this money. We're holding the Florida Skunk Ape Conference. We put that up, put all our money out of our research grant to do that for the people here in the state that supported us, people that believe in Bigfoot and find it interesting because there's really nothing down this way, and we felt that was kind of a way to give back to our fans here in the state, and because we have a lot of support here in the state. I mean, I literally do not have to stay in a hotel anywhere I go. These people put me up, and, you know, it's just we may not make our money for what we spent on this Skunk Ape Conference, but, you know, who cares? We're going to go down there and have a good time. I'd like to break even. Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
But, you
and
know,
that's
go down
September
there and have a
19th. September 19th and 20th, huh?
Yep, down in Orlando. Tickets are $50. They are going. You know, we are selling tickets. But it's, like I said, it's more or less a way to get the people down here to where they can meet Dr. Meldrum. They can meet Lyle Blackburn, you know. They can come up and talk to everybody and ask questions and this, that, and the other. And, you know, there's quite a good lineup. Lyle Blackburn's been on TV several times. You know, Meldrum, everybody knows him. Me and David are going to speak separately. You got Bill Brooks, Robert Robinson, Tim Fasano, you know. A lot of people know him
awesome.
As well. I mean, who doesn't know Tim Fasano? He hasn't been on TV yet, and I don't know why. That man was made for TV, brother.
I agree.
And a lot of people gave me grief over this. They're like,
Tampa Tim.
Why would you put Tim Fasano on? But seriously, out of everybody that's speaking, he is the only one I really care to hear. I really want to hear what comes out of his mouth, because you never know what's going to fly out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Very entertaining. So.
Yeah, I like his YouTube videos. He's great.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a loose cannon, but that makes for entertainment. So I like it. It is going to be kid-friendly, though. So everybody can bring the chitlins out, and enjoy the conference. And there's going to be booth setups, book signings, and this, that, and the other. We have a this guy called me yesterday. He bought tickets. He's like, "Hey, I'm a magician. You mind if I walk around and just do tricks and stuff, magic to people?" I'm like, "Whatever, bro. If you want to do it, fine with me." You know. And Dr. Todd's also doing a video presentation. He won't be there, but there will be a video, and he talks about DNA collection and the genetics of going into this Bigfoot and how important this discovery is, if they do exist, you know, which
cool.
I think they do. I know they do. He doesn't, and that's cool. But, he's given presentation as well. And then Lenny Green is going to be playing Bigfoot songs during the meet and greet, you know, kind of the background music. So it's going to be a good time. It's a really super nice hotel. And, fun for the whole family.
Yeah, that's what's cool. I mean, you guys seem to really collaborate well down there in Florida, your researchers and...
Yeah, we don't spend as much time together as a lot of people think. We'll hook up, once or twice a year, and on things, and it's hot. But, like, I kind of tend to keep to myself, David's my guy. That's that. I got a team, but, like, the main guy I go out with is David. We did it before the show. We'll do it. We're doing it now after the show, and we'll be doing it during our next show. So,
well, I think that's a good sign, because that means that you guys down there are actually out there working out in the woods instead of going to club meetings once a month or whatever. If you only see each other once or twice a year, that means that you guys are out there actually doing some work. Which is the way it's supposed to be.
People could say what they want about Tim Fasano, but he literally spends more time in the woods than probably about 95% of all Bigfooters. No joke. Like, I do know Tim. I talk to him quite a bit. I, a lot of people say hoaxer and things like that. A lot of people call me a hoaxer. If you read Bigfoot Evidence's comments, I'm a meth head and all kinds of
things.
Don't
read those comments. Don't. Don't do it.
But they say things about people, and I make my assumption off of somebody when I meet them. Care about all that garbage. I really don't pay that much attention to the internet. And, that's the one thing with my whole team. Stay out of the Facebook groups. Stay out of the internet. Do not let other people's theories pollute your mind. We need to come up with our own assumptions when we were in the field on what these creatures are. I don't want you reading a damn thing about Clogan. I, unfortunately, have to stay on there, and I'm hit up with all these questions because people think I'm the only person that won Bigfoot Bounty, so I get all these people hit me up wanting to talk to me about spiritual stuff, and so I hear a lot of this nonsense, but for the most part, I just ask my team, hey, stay away from it. There's nothing good comes out of getting on in Facebook groups and pounding the keyboard. Nothing. It just pisses you off. It drives you mad, and then when you're in the woods, it's all you're thinking about. It's what you want to talk to everybody else about. It's like what the stupid dude said the other day on Facebook. I don't care. And we do not talk Facebook when we go in the woods. We all turn our phones into a certain little box we have, and we put all our phones in the box, and there ain't no more phones while we're in the woods. All right, we are unavailable. I'll be damned if we're sitting out there watching a Bigfoot and the phone rings. we got a strict code, kind of. Everybody in our group is good at something. They all bring something to the table. A lot of military, because they're good at hunting men, and We're just hunting a really good man. We're hunting a ninja. We got to find this ninja in the woods. So I think that's the route to go, you know, as opposed to getting this done. But we're about to get another dart gun. The dart gun company that I bought the gun from has sponsored us, so they're sending us one for free.
Cool.
Just
good.
Straight. So, you know, it's good to not have to pay for things. And Night Owl Optics just sponsored us as well. They sent us a bunch of night vision gear. You know, and it's just good to see some of these companies going into Bigfoot, you know, putting money and their effort into Bigfoot research for what it's worth. I mean, it's good promotion for them. It reaches, I mean, who's buying night visions? I don't know the percentage of it, but I'm sure a lot of them got to be Bigfooters.
True.
You know what I mean?
True. That is true.
But like
yeah,
you pointed
like
out,
I
Stacey.
Go ahead.
No, you go. Well, one thing that you pointed out, Stacey, what people need to realize is that, you know, you're one of the few that actually gets at least a little bit of money on this. But I mean, when it comes down to brass tacks, I mean, gas in your truck costs a lot to get to the edge of the trail. You got to eat. I mean, this stuff costs bucks, and you're going out there. When you're not working at your regular job, that means that you're not getting paid your regular amount of money to do this. So when these people pony up and say, hey, we believe in what you're doing, we want to, you know, that's actually a really big deal. That helps out a lot. That helps
it
out
is.
A lot.
I mean, seriously, every trip, if I go by myself, I'm easily spending $100, $150. If, you know, David comes from Jacksonville, he lives 3 hours away from me. I mean, or if I go over there, or if we go to Ocala or wherever we go, we do a lot of stuff and we don't tell nobody where we're at, you know. We don't want people messing with us. We post these videos, people think we're out there right then. That was probably done 4 or 5 days before, you know, because I don't want to. Hey, it just makes sense. You don't want somebody thinking, oh, hell, they're out here in Palatka. I know where they're at, you know, and then go down there and start doing, like, I went to Myakka a couple weeks ago. I ain't a person in the world know I was out there.
That's good.
So there's just no reason in it. But, I mean, we'll $400 or $500, no doubt. Between the two of us, when we hook up, we'll spend $400 or $500. And that's just how it is. It costs money. And now we can go and investigate almost every credible sighting we get. As to before, we had to wait a week till we get paid, till we get time off of work.
Exactly.
Now we just bounce. Now it's just
that's
like,
great.
Hey. Gone, brother.
That's good.
Going. Yeah, and I ain't got a nagging wife tell me no. Ain't got nobody holding me back. I can just bounce right out. Which is how it's
yes,
been
you're
going
to be bouncing over to the Bigfoot Nation expedition in September here, too, and then, huh? So that's before the Skunk Ape conference.
Going over there, Justin and Rowe and Sean and Bart, we're going to go to the Sierras. Richter's going to be there. We're going to do it up. I'm really excited to get out there, you know. That's a really cool spot. I have yet to be there and go there, but a couple days before and, you know, really get some tracking and things done, because before the public comes in, I would like to just go off by myself for 2 days. Like, hey, I'm going to set my tent up and things so when the people get there, and then I'm going to just go do my thing, you know, because I believe there are Bigfoots there. And I think the best way for me to get to one is by myself, you know.
Are you bringing the showstopper?
that's yet to be seen. California has some really weird gun laws.
You know? I was about to bring that up. Yeah.
I don't know what the libtard nation's doing out there, but they really don't like guns, and so the chances are I won't be taking that with me. I'm really using that on private property because I love firearms. I have a bunch of them. I just actually at times just hold them, you know, and rock back and forth in my chair with my dip in my mouth. you know, just hold them. But no, I don't want to lose that privilege, you know, because at this point in our nation, to own a firearm has become a privilege. It's not something that's a right anymore. It's something that will go away. You know, it's something they're going to come and take. So I'm enjoying it while I can. I'm not going to give them any remote reason to take that. If you're caught in, like, state land, federal land, out there, and you got a gun, I mean, you're a felony, you know, and I ain't no felon, and I'm not trying to be. So I will abide by the laws, no matter how stupid they are, because for the main fact that I want to keep all my guns.
Yeah, that's smart. That's a smart approach, yeah.
You know, because there may be the day comes that I need to use them, and I've got a whole closet full of them, so... I've got enough weapons to arm a small militia. But it's sad how California is and things like that, because I hate to have to travel, because when I have to travel, the reciprocity between the states is not the same. Florida's gun laws, you know, we have the stand your ground law and things like that. They're pretty good. For a gun lover, the state's pretty much about how it was when the country started, you know, how it was meant to be, and hasn't been polluted and turned into what King Obama wants, you know. So it is what it is. But I'm, like I said, I like to keep my guns, and so I won't be taking them out there. You give them a reason, and they'll come you.
Well, we're coming down to our last few minutes here. But it looks like you got a lot of exciting stuff coming up, and I wish you the best, man. And any last words you'd like to say?
I'm amongst all this Bigfoot stuff. I restarted a band, Stacy Brown and the Big Bad Wolves. Look us up on Facebook. We're opening for Smile Empty Soul next Saturday. One of my favorite bands. I hope they can bring it, because we're really awesome. I got all the best musicians I know. I pulled everybody. I got the best drummer in the area. I got the best guitar player in the state. I mean, my guitar player's in his late 50s, but dude, he wails on it. And so, you know, we're going to throw a tour in somewhere. We're going to jump on with a national act and do a little bit of touring, you know, give me a break from Bigfoot, and so I'm going to get burned out. But, you know,
yeah, bring him on out here to the West Coast, man. We'll host you guys.
I think that's exactly what we're going to do, is do a West Coast tour, because, like,
yeah.
Hop Squatch just kind of was like, wow, Bigfoot's such a big, my name's bigger out there than it is here. Nobody cares about Bigfoot in Florida, bro.
Come up to Minneapolis.
Yeah. We get us a Midwest tour in there somewhere. I'll sleep in a van for a while like you used to.
You can camp in my yard.
Nice. We'll do the intent tour, and we'll sleep in tents at every stop. So.
Well, awesome, man.
Well, I appreciate y'all having me on. And, you know, everybody check the website, SasquatchHunters.com. Look us up on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Bigfoot Stacy. That's my Twitter
handle.
Cool, man. Snapchat for
Thanks
all
for joining us.
Yeah, brother. Talk to you next time.
Thank you, Stacy. That was
good.